What we're dealing with here, littering air, is a complete lack of respect for the law.
And smoke in the reef.
Called the dust pop.
We live in a society of laws.
Dust pop?
Yeah. No, it's not real.
This thing of weed.
Takes one shot a weekend of training to get that bag.
Welcome back to the Police Academy podcast. This is a listener driven episode. I'm going to read something that one of our listeners wrote. It's a great topic and a great point of discussion. I think it's something that most people don't really ever think about, or at least very often, if at all. And it's a side of law enforcement that you don't really see if you're not in it. And it's also a side that many in law enforcement, because of the nature of who decides to be a cop and the predominant culture in law enforcement, it's a side that many wouldn't generally admit is there. So we're going to talk about that. This episode is titled Tears because it was aptly named that as a subject in the email that was sent to me, and I kept it because I think it's a great title for the show. If you're a police officer and you'd like to share your own tearful experiences, please do so. You can email us at policeacademypodcast.com. I will share some of mine, a few that I could remember. There are definitely more in this episode, but on that subject, there are many, many more out there, and our listeners have those experiences. So if you want to share that with the audience, which is quite large at this point, we'd love to have that input as well and get that out there, because as with many of these shows where a listener writes in asking questions, there are undoubtedly many more people out there who have the same questions. So the more content we can get out there on a topic like this, the more people that we get to help. And if you're an officer and you want to be a part of helping others find their way into or through this career field, then please do so at policeacademypodcast@gmail.com. I may have missaid that initially. It's policeacademypodcast@gmail.com. We've got several interviews coming up, so stay tuned for those. Members, of course, get early release. I think we've got two or three next week that we're doing. Shirts are in production. The Good Strong Free t-shirts are literally being made right now. I'm not sure how soon they're going to be here. Should be within a month or so. And the tumblers are shipping finally. So if you are a top tier member and you don't have your tumbler yet, they're on their way this week. Okay, let's jump to it. This is, again, from a listener. I'm going to read through the email and then we'll jump into this and talk about it. All right, quote, "What's up, Terrence? I have absolutely loved the transparency you and your guests have, and the podcast has pushed me further into the desire of becoming a police officer. I am confident in my God-given personality, people skills, experiences growing up, and education that with training and experience, I could do the job well. However, the big however here, and is the main point of this email, I am a very emotional person with enormous amounts of empathy. Yes, I cry quite often when I see injustices or even when watching some sappy romance with my fiance. Tears have never come from me having my feelings hurt, and words don't hurt me at all. But seeing others in situations I pray to God I would never see myself in pulls on something very deep in my heart. The empathy I have worries me for a few reasons. First, I know already that I would definitely want to cry responding to certain calls, even some stories from your podcast have caused me to tear up on the way to work, lunch break, working out. LOL. That'd be kind of awkward. From my point of view, an officer needs to be not cold, but collected and strong in front of victims, offenders, or other officers. This is so they can set an example of the law being a strong arm towards injustice, always professional and in control. Another reason I feel as though my empathy could be a hitch in the profession is the mental toll of the experiences on the job. I just feel a lot. I understand, as you've said before, that these negative experiences do have an impact and you guys cope in humor and other ways. So I'd love to hear of times when you or someone you know in law enforcement broke down. This would really give me confidence that my strong feelings toward injustice or people being taken advantage of is a normal feeling, and that others want to cry as well, or at least just tear up. This may be tough to do, but I would like to hear your absolute worst experiences if you can share. I want to understand the true grit of the profession before entering into it. End quote. All right. So that's the impetus for the show. Wise question to ask. Number one, this person knows himself and knows that this could potentially be an issue in a career like law enforcement and is seeking out wisdom or mentorship from someone who's been there. So is this going to be a problem? Well, first of all, obviously, the caveat with any conversation like this is, well, I don't know you as an individual. So maybe, maybe not. I'll never be able to give 100% definitive answer on these questions, but I can give some general guidelines, right? So first, I will say that being a strong feeling person with lots of empathy toward people and injustice is not a disqualifier for law enforcement. Not at all. In fact, it is a huge strength if you have the ability to control that and use it in the appropriate circumstances. So, I just want to start there, because if you're saying, yeah, that's me, I cry, you know, at the drop of a hat, stay tuned, right? Like, that is not a disqualifier for getting into law enforcement. First, empathy makes a good cop, right? The definition of empathy is the ability to understand and share the feelings of another or somebody else. Well, police officers, their job is to serve and protect, right? It's to enforce the law through service to their community and by protecting those who need that protection. The reality of law enforcement is we don't do lots of protecting directly. We're rarely ever standing between the suspect and the victim. It's after the fact, when someone's already been hurt, that we're chasing down the suspect, following leads, doing investigations, and putting someone, you know, pressing or filing charges, making an arrest, what have you. But essentially, we're serving our community, right? Without empathy, can we truly serve our communities? Because if you don't understand and share, empathy is unique, because you can you have to have the ability to share the feelings, right? You're not just, oh, I feel sorry for that person. It's I'm feeling what that person is feeling to a certain extent. If we can't understand the people in our communities and feel what they're feeling, can we truly serve them? Well, maybe. But not, we definitely can't serve them as well as we could if we had that empathy. So right there, again, empathy is a crucial component to, in my opinion, being able to serve your community the best that you can as an officer. Understanding people, feeling for those people makes you a better cop. If you don't have that, or if you've turned that off because the job is hard and it tends to make you want to shut any sort of empathy off toward other people. I get it. I've been there. I'm not here to criticize those officers, and they're, I think a majority of longer term officers out there are in that place. Again, I get it. But to say that empathy is a hurdle or a stumbling block to an officer, I think is, wow. So much for do not disturb mode. I guess I got to shut my phone off because it doesn't understand what do not disturb means. Okay. So again, empathy is not a negative. I think if anything, it is a positive that officers should try to hold on to if they can. Crying. this episode is titled Tears, right? So crying. Is it okay to cry as a police officer? Well, yes, obviously. You're a human being. You're not a robot, and you're not a monster as our current media, especially, and much of the predominant pop culture out there right now seems to think or want us to think that we are. We're not monsters. We're not robots. We are human beings, and it's okay to cry. Being professional and in control, yes, is important, but these two things are not mutually exclusive. You can be professional. You can be in control. You can command a room when you have to, right? But there's a time and a place for that. Suspects don't warrant tears. I think if you are crying for a suspect in front of a suspect, or even for a victim in front of a suspect, that's not a great situation, right? But victims often do, and that's okay. If you sit down with a victim, put your arm around their shoulder, and share a few tears with them, you have no idea what kind of impact that could have on that person. That's fine, right? They might be like kind of thrown off by it, but I promise you they'll never forget that moment. Now, and I think being a strong arm against injustice, as was mentioned in the initial letter, it's about combating injustice the best way you can. It's not about acting tough or looking tough or in control at all times, right? Again, that victim might need to see that you actually care. And if you put on the listener that wrote this said not cold, but if you do kind of shut those, you wall those emotions off and don't show anything, that victim may not be able to help that victim in that moment the way that you otherwise could if you empathize with them and show them that you care. Like I said, share a few tears with them. That may be what they need in that moment. That may change their life. And I think this is one of my biggest pet peeves with cops. A lot of them seem to think, and I think much of this is not conscious, but in any case, when they put the uniform on, they turn into robots. And I hate that. It pisses me off when a police officer makes a traffic stop or is dealing with the public in any capacity. When these guys act like robots, it drives me crazy because you're not helping anyone. Number one, you're making a bad name for cops. Yeah, it makes you more intimidating. If that's what you want, then job successful, mission complete, right? But it's simply, generally speaking, based in an insecurity. And I think that the better cops are the ones who can connect with people, who aren't worried about putting on this tough guy face or tough gal face. Cops who can just be people even when they're in uniform. Those are the great cops. The whole strong arm idea is a huge mistake. When the time comes that you have to step up and lead in, volatile, time crunch situations, high pressure situations, that's the time that you flip that switch and you turn it on. And people will see that, okay, I was just talking to this officer, super cool. You've built rapport with these people, whatever. And then all of a sudden you're barking out orders and trying to get people to move or do what you need them to do. They will respect that because there's a built-in, innate ability to understand when there's danger. And when that happens, people are looking for a leader. And if you step up and be that leader, people are going to listen to you. You don't have to be tough all the time to get people to respect you as an authority figure. It doesn't, that's not necessary. That's, and that again is a huge mistake that many officers make. People will respond when you need to flip the switch and get people to move their asses. They will respond if you have good command presence. And they, those, again, those things are not mutually exclusive. You can be a great officer in the high stress, high speed situations where you have to take command and control of a situation, have command presence in the room, and get people to do what you need them to do. That's great. You can still do that, but also sit down with that victim and cry with them if the situation warrants. Obviously, they happen at different times, but you can do both, and that's what makes a great officer. We all feel, okay? So this is another thing that I think anyone who's kind of thinking along these lines from you know what this letter said needs to understand that the toughest, seemingly toughest cops out there are also often the most broken. Okay. That hard shell is just a defense mechanism. It's just a way of getting through life without having to deal with their brokenness on a daily basis, right? Being in touch with your feelings will help you cope with the tough parts of being a cop, as long as you can do that in healthy ways. And I think, again, going back to what I said earlier, this is not a criticism of cops who aren't doing this per se, but it might be a good reminder that, like, hey, you've been in it for 10 years and maybe just need to, you might need to take a few steps back and consider, you know, am I coping with the, you know, the toxicity of this career in a healthy way? But the same rules apply, whether or not you're a veteran officer, you're one of these guys who have shut down all these outward emotions, or you're the opposite, maybe newer and or one who, you know, does share these emotions. These same rules apply to coping with the job. You got to keep friends outside of your job, for one. That's a huge one. You need to have mentors, people who can lead you and guide you, who've been in places that you're currently going through, whether that's, you know, at home or at work. And you got to talk to other people about your feelings, whether you're married, you know, significant other, best friend, whatever it is. You got to be able to talk to people. And cops usually talk to other cops and cry with other cops. Again, that's a misperception that cops don't, the letter said want to cry. Cops do cry. You just don't see it most of the time. But you got to talk to others, door up with another officer. But I think that when we talk about talking to other people, you not only need to obviously talk with your coworkers, you know, joke about stuff, whatever. Like I get it. I joked about terrible things, all the time. It is definitely a coping mechanism and it tends to work. But it's also good to talk more on a real, dare I say, more emotional basis, with people outside of law enforcement who can help you kind of like process those events and those emotions in a healthy way as well. And of course, keep some freaking hobbies, right? Like if you're a person who doesn't have lots of hobbies, find one. And if you do have lots of other hobbies, keep them. Like, don't let being a cop define your entire life. That is, again, something that drives me crazy. And I understand why it's hard not to do, because being a police officer is so much about, it becomes so ingrained in who you are. It changes you in a fundamental way. I get that. That's why this show is called Police Academy Podcast. It's not about, the show is not intended to be a quasi police academy for anybody, right? That's not where our name came from. It came from the idea that we wanted to help people who were not in law enforcement understand the way cops think, why they do what they do, right? And when you begin to see that is in the police academy, you go from a civilian who sees the world through the lens of a civilian to now seeing it through the lens of a police officer. And those are two very different perspectives. The way that you see the world literally changes. So I get why cops, many police officers take on this mantle of like, I'm a cop. Like it's everything about them. It is who they are. And I think that's a mistake. Take pride in what you do. It is one of the most noble professions out there, especially today. If you're signing up today, man, it takes some guts because, look what's going on out there. But taking pride in your work and letting it define you are two different things. Do not let the career define you. You are more than just a cop. All right, so I'll share some of my own experiences here where I shed some tears because of the job. One of my greatest weaknesses as a podcaster on the topic of policing is that I suck at remembering my own experiences. I need something to remind me. It's very difficult for me to just conjure up moments and memories, and I don't think I'm a very good storyteller, but here's a couple of moments or events from my career where that may illustrate that even, and I am generally speaking very even keel, emotionally stable. That's probably not the best way to put it, but I don't have like big ups and downs. I'm just very even keel. I think that's the best way to put it. So I don't cry a lot. Rarely ever do I cry, but even so, and that's not because of law enforcement. That's just the way I am. But there were definitely moments where I shed a few tears. So here they are. All right. So this first one, well, first I'll say this. There were moments where it wasn't even connected, a time where I would literally cry, wasn't necessarily connected with any specific moment. I remember one time I was in the gym lifting weights alone, and some thought came to mind, and I don't think it was anything, it wasn't about a moment that I had on the job. It was a thought about a person that I cared about, and I don't remember who exactly. And I just cried. It sounds super weird to say that. Most guys would never want to admit it. You're in the gym by yourself, crying about something that has nothing to do with whatever you're doing at that moment. But it was my body and my emotions taking care of an imbalance that needed to be taken care of, because afterwards I felt amazing. It wasn't this like moment of despair or excessive pain or anything like that. It was just like unloading a bunch of emotion that was just like stuck there. This is the way I see it, right? It was just my body kind of balancing things out. So, and that's one instance that I remember. I know that happened from time to time. Sometimes after a good cry is when you feel the best. Like it's a weird thing. If you've never seen the movie Inside Out, the one about like the different characters in the movie are different emotions, joy, what is it? Joy, disgust, sadness, and anger and fear, I think. It's a great movie. And, the whole movie, the whole point is, well, sadness is like ruining everything all the time, or so they think. But then they realize that without sadness, you can't experience true joy, and it helps you connect with moments and with people more deeply, right? So anyways, all right. So the first story is about a baby. This situation dealt with a couple of parents. They were very young. And a newborn baby girl. And she was just, I'm not one to say that all babies are cute. In fact, I think most babies are not cute at all. I think they're ugly. This baby was adorable. She was just a beautiful little girl. And what happened was the night before, a bad storm came through, and this couple, along with their little baby girl, stayed at one of their parents' house. And the dad chose to, or fell asleep, in any case, however it happened, the dad fell asleep on the couch with this baby girl on his chest. And any parent should know that co-sleeping is not a good thing to do when you have very, very young children, because they're not strong enough to move themselves if they get stuck in a bad position. And of course, that's what happened. This baby ended up in, you know, face down, kind of in on his side, like in his armpit area. And, you know, the father woke up at some point, the baby's blue, you know, they call the ambulance, and here I come in at the ER. And I remember the doctor's face. You know, as a cop, you get to know the docs, or at least I did, at the ER, especially if you're working night shift, the same docs all the time, and nurses. I walked in, the doc looked at me, and he just shook his head. And, you know, so I knew at that moment that this was not good. What I was going to have to do and tell this family. You know, I remember the hopeful, obvious denial from these parents. They knew deep down that their daughter was probably dead. But they still had this kind of like hope in their eyes when I first got there, you know, just holding on to that hope. Now, I remember walking in with the chaplain and seeing that denial start to fade. The second that they saw me walk into this little private family room with, you know, with the chaplain, I mean, there's a clue, right? They knew what I was about to tell them. Now, I remember the mom, this young mother, bursting into tears and just wailing extremely loud in this ER waiting room. And the whole ER could hear when I explained that their adorable little girl is dead. And I do remember when I told this mother and father that I did have tears in my eyes. Now, I didn't go as far as openly crying with them. It was a moment that they needed. It was a short, very short moment where we gave them the news. I gave it to them in a very solemn way, again, with tears in my eyes. And I think that they could obviously see that, you know, I was feeling for them and with them. But I knew that they needed their own, you know, own time to deal with that. So it wasn't a time where I'm going to, you know, sit next to them and cry with them. But those tears were definitely there. Now, this next one, I titled The Wife. I was called to a domestic complaint / check well-being. The wife and husband had been arguing the night before. Man, I cannot talk right now. And, you know, these are both young, good-looking people. They've got beautiful kids. I can't remember how many kids they had. But the wife called because she was concerned about her husband. They had been fighting. He had locked himself in the garage, and she hadn't heard from him in a while, hadn't heard anything come from the garage in a while. And again, she knew something was wrong. But she was hopeful that we'd find her husband in there, passed out, or maybe he snuck out, whatever it was. She was hopeful that we'd find something other than what she kind of knew was probably what we were going to find. And so, of course, we go into this garage, and he's right in the middle of the garage, hanging from a rope, clearly deceased. And I just vividly remember him, and then thinking about those kids and that wife and what we were going to have to tell them. And then the next thing I remember, we're out in the front yard. You know, someone is kind of, someone's in the scene in the garage area, kind of securing that. And the wife is coming out, coming across the yard toward myself and one of my supervisors. And I just, and I remember seeing the look again, hopeful look on her face. She was coming to us because she knew we knew something and she wanted to know the news. And I remember seeing the bruises on her arms and legs, from the obvious abuse that was going on between her and her husband. And being in this moment of like knowing that they are in a terrible place as a husband and wife, knowing that she's in a terrible place, she's being abused by this guy, but she's obviously doesn't want that. They're married, they've got kids together. And so it's one of those moments as an officer, you get to see the nuance that most people don't see. Most people just be like, oh, he was a dirtbag, he's beating his wife, good riddance, right? Well, it's not that simple. Maybe he was a dirtbag. I don't know. I didn't know the guy. But it sure seemed, based on my conversations with the family, that he actually was a pretty good dad. And that they were simply struggling in very, they were just really struggling financially. And, you know, it's putting tons of stress on this family. I'm a father. I'm a husband. I know what that means. When you feel like you're not providing for your family and you're giving everything you have and things aren't going your way. I mean, men especially carry that in ways that can, if they don't have the right resources, can destroy them. So anyways, I remember seeing these bruises. I remember her face. And then I remember her just collapsing in the front yard when we told her that her husband and father of her kids was dead. And I remember the tears in my eyes in that moment. And I remember turning, because my supervisor was kind of like right off to the side behind me. I remember turning and looking at him and noticing that he had tears in his eyes as well. Again, not a moment that we openly cried, but those tears were there. And it's okay. Neither one of us, none of us in that situation were judging each other because we were feeling some emotional pain in that moment. And it didn't hinder our ability to do our jobs. And I'll end with this. Again, if you're a police officer and you've got stories like this, there are plenty of much more dramatic stories than this. Like I said, I don't have any like real dramatic stories about crying on duty or in uniform. I definitely had lots of compassion for the people I worked with, but I'm a very emotionally just kind of flatline kind of person, generally speaking. But if you've got some stories that you'd like to share, just email us policeacademypodcast@gmail.com. But I'll end with this. And this is an opinion, but I think it bears truth based on my experiences. Good cops have self-control and composure. If you are a good cop, in my opinion, that means you have, at a minimum, self-control and you have composure in stressful situations. Great cops know how to connect with people. They're not those automatrons out there. They're not the people who walk in to a situation and to just simply intimidate by how cold and professional they are, right? They connect with people on a deep, emotional, and human level. At the very least, they know how to connect and build rapport with people and make people feel at ease in their presence. Those are great cops. To be a great cop, you must have that ability, in my opinion. Now, there may be exceptions. There's always exceptions to any rule, but suffice it to say that having a lot of empathy for people, if anything, is a huge strength. It is not inherently a weakness. And if that's you, if you're someone who has lots of feels, then good news, you can still be a cop. And that's it for this one. If you want to check out our membership, go over to Patreon, patreon.com/Police Academy Podcast, or just go to Patreon and search us. You'll find us. You'll get early release episodes, extra episodes, full episodes when we release partial ones to the public, all kinds of other stuff. So go check it out, patreon.com. And again, if you're one of our top tier members, we will have these tumblers coming out here this week. So they are on their way to your waiting hands. All right, we'll see you all next time. As always, do good, be strong, stay free.